Recording. Does any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please take the roll?
27 present, 13 absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Brown, Metcalf, Smith, and Representatives Brown, Metcalf, and Smith are excused from the call today. Representative Randolph will be excused from the call from 11:30 a.m. on.
The record please show that Representative Buchholz is also present. The prayer today is by Mr. John Jensen, the Eckankar representative. Will the members please rise for the prayer? Will the Chief Clerk please certify us to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the journal for the 74th day.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 74th day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal will be approved.
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that members of the Finance Committee be excused for purposes of attending a Finance Committee meeting.
There's no objection. The Finance Committee members will be excused for purposes of Finance Committee meeting. We're under introduction of guests. Representative Haugen. Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I would like to introduce Enid Lincoln, who is president of the Bering Straits REA School Board.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, a former member of this body and psychologist from Anchorage, and he used to be one of my professors at AMU, Mr. Jim Parsons.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, we have the junior bowlers from Cordova. They're in Juneau for the state bowling tournament. Gordon Orris, Rodney Bonnell, Pat Simpson, Mike Noonan, and Steve Johnson. And Lou Butler, who is the city accountant for Cordova.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a lifetime resident of the great city of Wasilla, Erling Nelson, city clerk.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a couple that are visiting here today from San Marcos, California. Warner and Debbie Lusardi that are standing in Gallery A.
Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is indeed an honor for me to introduce two constituents there from Gallery A. They are the wife and daughter of Senator Mulcahy, Esther Mulcahy, and her daughter, Tina.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, sitting next to my wife, is a constituent of mine from Dillingham, Lois Hermanson.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just discovered that Kim Kalmbach, the Brill clerk, is in Gallery B also.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, can the record reflect my presence in the chamber, please?
Will the record please show that Representative Parker and Representative Miles are present. Representative Jaroff is too.
Mr. Speaker, also thanks to Mr. Representative Carney here and also in Gallery B. I see we have another constituent from Kodiak, the city clerk, Libby Presnell.
Messages from the governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I read the following resolution and signed the following bills and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, amended Senate, urging the Judicial Council to complete its review and make recommendations in the matter of judicial sentencing practices. Legislative Resolve Number 6. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 90, making a supplemental appropriation to the University of Alaska for the acquisition of library books and providing for an effective date. Chapter 9, SLA 1979. House Bill Number 89, making a supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Tokyo Office, and providing for an effective date. Chapter 10, SLA 1979. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following and it is returned. House Joint Resolution Number 24, Studies of Hydroelectric Potential in Rural Alaska. This bill, resolution has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed the following with a Senate letter of intent attached and is transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill Number 162 by Bennett and Stimson, an act relating to peace officers.
Hess and Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 28 relating to criminal mischief under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, Malone, Anderson, Buchholz, and Parr. Senate Bill 28 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Bill 71 amended relating to issuance of free permanent licenses for senior citizens under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 71 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Eliason, Fuller, Jaroff, Osterbach, and Carney. Senate Bill 71 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141 relating to sentencing of criminal defendants under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Malone, Parr, Phillips, Martin, Barnes, and O'Connell. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 433 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act creating the Alaska Safety Advisory Commission.
Labor and Management.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 8, amended by Crutula, relating to the Petersville Road. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Martin, Miller, and Metcalf. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
This is a concurrent resolution voted on in second reading. Is there any debate? The question before the House is the final passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 8 as amended by the Senate. The members, please vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, no nays, 10 excused.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 8 has passed the House. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10 by Rohde, recognizing International Year of the Child and encouraging Alaskans to participate in local observances. The Committee on HES has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Barnes, Byrne, Hurlburt, Chatterton, and Buchholz. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Is there any debate? Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a little concerned about this resolution. When I think of children, I think of optimism and good things that are being done in their behalf. But throughout this resolution, it's mostly negativeness expressed. And I think somehow, however, we should express in this year of our child the good things that the society is doing, and especially the good things that many, many parents, by far the majority of the parents, are doing the extraordinary job in raising children in this era of complexity within our society. So I'm most concerned that we're acknowledging only the negativeness within our society and not the good points. Thank you.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. About a year ago, the President of the United States signed a proclamation that this would be the International Year for the Child. And although the resolution does address some of negative aspects of how we treat our children today, the intent of the recognizing the International Year of the Child is to foster better treatment of the children, not just for the state of Alaska, but throughout the nation, throughout the world. And this resolution merely addresses the issue that we must recognize the needs of children and to emphasize some of the bad things that perhaps have been going on for some time and trying to overcome them. There is a group in Juneau that is working on this issue and trying to foster the activities of children. And by the way, I asked the question whether the state of Alaska would put out funds to promote this kind of program, and I'm told that there is no fiscal note in this resolution, that individuals and organizations throughout the state would work together to foster the promotion of the concept of the International Year for the Child. Thank you.
Is there any further debate? The question before the House is the final passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Will the clerk please take the final roll?
Yeas, no nays, 10 not voting.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
May we be at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come to order? That completes the consideration of the daily calendar and brings us to unfinished business. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 229 at this time.
Reconsideration of House Bill 229 is before the House. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 229, amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to fish and game licenses and providing for an effective date.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I let this bill go by yesterday without making any argument on it or debating it. And frankly, that was a misjudgment on my part because I didn't think it would pass. I should have known that, considering the sponsor, that he'd probably felt the pulse enough to have some idea what was going to happen. This kind of thing is standard procedure, and it's one of the flaws in our system is that if one of your colleagues is a nice guy, as Mr. Cotton is, comes around and needs a vote, sounds reasonable, and he's a nice guy, and you say, okay, you can put me down, and then you vote for it without really having an opportunity to examine the merits of the bill or to hear the debate on it. And I suspect that was the case yesterday, but I thought possibly that there was some possibility maybe that the bill would not pass, and I let it go because I didn't want to hold up the proceedings. And it's not really my desire to do that this morning, and I don't want what I have to say to sound like a filibuster because it's not intended, but most of the members that have served with me in the past know that I have a strong, if I suppose that's the proper word for it, feelings about increasing any tax license or fee that affects the consumer. And I have never objected to taxes that were to meet the legitimate needs of a government. That's what it's all about, and I don't object to that. I've voted for my share. But since we started pumping oil, or when we sold the oil leases in Prudhoe Bay, from that day to this, as far as I'm concerned, there's no justification for increasing taxes, license fees, or any other method of raising money as far as the general public is concerned. And that's what this amounts to. It's an increase in license fees, and it, as far as I'm concerned, is a tax. It's an additional cost to bring money into the coffers of the state, be paid for by the citizens of the state. I don't quarrel with the program. The aims, the goals of the legislation proposed, but there's another way to do it, and a simple way. The estimate is, if I recall correctly, and I checked with Mr. Cotton this morning, I think I'm pretty close to right, that it's forecast that this bill will increase, increasing the taxes will raise about $350,000. And Mr. Speaker, in close to a $1 billion budget, I think that we can find $350,000 to carry out this program without increasing the cost to the people of the state. That's my feeling as far as the tax is concerned. The problem with it, as far as I'm concerned, is that it's set up to provide a certain service that is mainly a benefit to only one part of our state. And there's nothing really new about that. I've always been one of those people that objected very strongly to anybody using the sectionalism argument or any kind of an argument that divides the people of the state. I've never done it myself. But so often happens, and we've had it in the past, I know a joke that every time somebody in Anchorage gets a parking ticket, we have a new law that fouls things up all over the rest of the state. That's not hard to understand. Anchorage represents probably more than 50% of the people, the population of this state, and they have problems, and sometimes
in order to try to solve those problems, we do raise havoc with the rest of the state, and I think this is a prime example of that. As far as the Anchorage and their problems, kind of reminds me of the remark that's attributed to the Premier of Canada when he said living next to the United States was like sleeping with an elephant. Although they don't mean you any harm, if they happen to roll over in their sleep, you have real problems. And this is the case with problems in Anchorage sometimes. You're trying to solve those and you cause great problems for the rest of us. Now there's a great number of people in all throughout southeastern Alaska that's sport fish, and primarily they sport fish for king salmon. And I just can't approve of or agree that it's the proper way to go when, and because of a problem that's not in their area or something that's trying to be taken care of that's not in their area, that they should be have an extra $5 tag hung on them. I'd feel less opposed if you simply raised all fishing license $5. At least you would spread it over the state. But I object to picking on these particular people. Again, I suspect that Mr. Cotton has his votes counted, and it's not going to make any difference, but I'll tell you, it may make some difference to some of us when we get home. Now, I'm a man like everybody else. I'm aware of my own limitations and capabilities. But you can go back and look at the election returns over the years, and I think you can fairly say that there's nothing wrong with my political instincts. I know what stirs people up, and I know what calms them down to a certain degree, and this is not the kind of thing that you should be doing in a year when we've just spent millions of dollars, approved millions of dollars, for increases in pay of state employees. And in a lot of people's minds, the extra $5 that goes back to the state is probably where part of that's going to go. I know that that's not so. It goes into the fish fund. But it's going to be hard to explain to a lot of folks at home why you have to choke another $5 out of them at the same time you're spending millions of dollars to raise people's pay. These are the kinds of things that are important, and kind of things that we should take into consideration. And I'm opposed to the approach and the idea. There's another way to do it. We can take the money out of the general fund, and I'm perfectly willing to do that, support it, initiate the move to do it. But I think you're making a mistake if you let this bill go by and vote for it, because there's a lot of people that's not going to like it, and I don't think it's necessary, and I don't think it's fair. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't agree with everything Mr. Freeman said. And one other point that I'll just respond to him. I haven't gone around and had a check sheet on this. I just hoped that the bill would rise or fall on its own merits. The cost of managing the king salmon and steelhead stocks in the state have gone up. The revenues from the license fees are not enough to cover those costs. Some people suggested that perhaps since we just have a problem in Cook Inlet, that those people ought to pay $5 to catch king salmon and the rest of the state ought to be able to do it for free. I don't agree with that. In fact, this year the money to cover those management and operational costs in the Cook Inlet area are being taken out of the general fund. I think that it's probably a better way to do it is to increase the user fees and go ahead and have those people who take advantage and enjoy the resource to help pay for it directly. And another point I made yesterday is that the people that do fish and harvest king salmon and steelhead in the state, I think, at least in my area, aren't going to mind paying the extra money, and I think it'll increase their awareness and their level of consciousness as to the need to properly manage an important resource such as king salmon, and one that in the past we've gone without being able to harvest. So again, I think that it's a good bill, and I ask everybody to vote for it again.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, what the previous speaker said is true. The cost of managing king salmon stocks has gone up. So have the costs, I'm sure, of managing grayling stocks in the state of Alaska. I wonder how many of the interior people where they have that very fine fishery for grayling. Perhaps they can look forward to a $5 permit fee on grayling, you know, next year, the year after that. I'm sure the cost of sheafish management has gone up. Perhaps the next step will be a $5 permit system on sheafish up in the Arctic. In the Fairbanks area, the you know, there's all sorts of fish. In South Central area, there's all sorts of additional species, and I'm sure the cost of management for all of those species has gone up. And if we start on a piecemeal basis, trying to solve the costs of increased management of those stocks by having permits, it's going to it could very well happen that when you buy your fishing license for a year, that's only the first step. You know, you'll buy your fishing license at a fairly reasonable fee, but then for every species that you wish to fish, you'll pay an additional $5. And you can say, well, of course, this is a decision that each legislature will make, and surely we won't make that decision. Speaker, I'd submit that if anybody had told me a year ago that we were going to make an across-the-board $5 fee across the state, across the board for king salmon, I'd have said, surely we won't make that decision.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, I'd like to explain my position on the bill. Yesterday I voted for it, and obviously it's an increase in taxes, and as a libertarian I should be against that, and I am, basically. But if we have to have taxes, we have to have income to manage a resource, to do the things that the state's doing, this is the best way to do it. To take it out of the general fund is obviously not the best way to do it. And I agree with Mr. Miller, in part at least, that if we're going to have if the cost is going up of managing the fisheries, I think the income ought to go up to manage the fisheries. And, you know, if you have to have taxes, if you have to have government doing these types of things, then the proper way to fund it is with the money from the people who are using the resource and enjoying the pleasure of doing that thing, not go out to people who don't like to do it and make them pay for it.
Is there any further debate? Representative Anderson.
Would be at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? We're under third reading on reconsideration of Committee Substitute House Bill 229 Amendment. There is the proposed amendment by Representative Freeman, Miller, and Eliason. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent we return to second reading for the purpose of specific amendment.
Motion has been made to return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment number 2. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Freeman, Miller, and Eliason. Page 1, line 28. The fee established in this section applies only to areas utilizing punch cards or similar management systems.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I think that the amendment, if adopted, would take care of the problem that I have with the bill and would make it easy enough for me to vote for it. I think that if this is where we have the problem and the people in that area are willing to do this, that this would be the proper way to do it, and I would ask that you approve the motion to go back to second reading.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I oppose the amendment. Seems like there's a regional argument being presented here. If you guys want to pay up around Anchorage, if you want to pay to help manage the king salmon, that's fine, but in my area of the state, we don't want to pay, so we'll make it exclusive. I don't think we can do that. Probably it's probably unconstitutional to charge one user group a fee to harvest a resource, and another user group wouldn't be charged that fee. So, in any event, I think if one group has to pay it, the other ought to as well.
Is there further debate? Question for the House is a motion to return to second reading for purposes of adopting amendment number 2. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Will the clerk please take the final roll?
11 yeas, 21 nays, 8 not voting.
The motion to return to second reading has failed. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Is there further debate on the bill? Question, Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, I just make a remark or two on it that I'm going to vote no on the bill because I think it is, as Mr. Freeman says, an additional tax upon the people. And I can't see any reason at all, any justification for the state to tax the people. There are some taxes sometimes are necessary, and we have plenty of them, but there doesn't seem to be any real valid reason for increasing taxes. If we're going to increase taxes on this, well, then it would be logical to increase taxes on all other types of services at the same time, including roadside parks that some people use and some others don't use and all that sort of thing. But the truth is, as I think I've said it before on the floor here, that this state is enormously wealthy. It has tremendous assets. There is no shortage of money in this state. The shortage is using the assets to create the ready cash. And the state is so greedy and so tight that it will not release any of its lands. And if it would only do that, it could sell off just a few acres of land and raise all the money it needs to do for all of its operating expenses. And that would benefit the people also. The state doesn't need to tax the people anymore. And I'm not supporting any taxes or any other of that stuff until such time as the state proves that it needs it, that it doesn't have the assets. Lots of states don't own any land. They don't have any major assets. But this state has absolutely fantastic, enormous assets. Just like the assets were given to some of the municipalities are staggering. They're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And yet they're going to keep increasing their taxes instead of moving that land out to the people. I'm not supporting any taxes.
Sir, further debate. Representative Schaefer. Will the clerk please read all the committee reports?
The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 229 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Halford, Chatterton, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 229 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 229 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman. Signing do pass, Guy. Signing do not pass, Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Moss, and Rogers. Signing no recommendation, Haugen, Duncan, McKinnon, and Schaefer.
Is there further debate? The question before the House is the final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 229 as amended. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 10 nays, 4 not voting.
Committee substitute for House Bill 229 as amended by the House has passed on reconsideration. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause for committee substitute for House Bill number 229 amended.
The motion is the adoption of the effective date clause on House Bill 229. I think there was effective date clause in the amendment, which does not appear on your bill. It was January 1st, 1980. Representative Rogers?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Have we moved an amendment to the title as well?
That can be handled in engrossing, since it was the floor amendment to adopt effective date clause. The question for the House is the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 5 Not Voting.
The House has adopted the effective date clause and committee substitute for House Bill 229. Representative Hayes.
We have an ease.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? The roll call will be voided, and we'll have to take both roll calls over again. There was one member's vote did not register who was present. The first roll call is okay. It'll be the roll call on the effective date clause. The question for the House is the adoption of the effective date clause. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 4 Not Voting.
The House has adopted the effective date clause and committee substitute for House Bill 229 as amended by the House. Representative Freeman.
May we return to introduction of guests?
Under introduction of guests.
Mr. Speaker, in the gallery behind me, a constituent of yours and mine, Allery Stanton.
We're under unfinished business. Are there any other items unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the commission to speak about per diem?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, we're all aware, I think, that those of us who are in the legislature have never really been, by IRS, considered to have a tax home, which wasn't in Juneau. But in each year, Congress has been passing a sort of a temporary thing which permits us to get our consider this our home away from home, if you want to call it that, for DM purposes and taxation purposes. But that they hadn't as yet passed anything for this year. So I wrote Senator Gravel, and I just got today a notice that the House had passed the bill for this year on March 27th. Vote of 364-4, and I thought that members would be interested in this. If anyone wishes to write Senator Gravel or Senator Stevens about it, it's H.R. 3091. I think this is important to all of us. It certainly saves us a lot of trouble, if not money.
Are there any other special orders? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, House Resources will meet today at 3 o'clock to continue work on the land disposal program.
Representative Freeman. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. We're under announcements at committee meetings. Are there further announcements? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Permanent Fund Committee will be meeting this afternoon at 4:30 to hear from Mr. Clark Greening, the former chairman of the committee in the last legislature. Mr. Greening is going to explain to the members of the committee some of the considerations that went into the legislation in the last legislature. It's going to be an informal meeting. No particular bill is necessarily going to be under discussion, but it is open to the public, and it is a regular meeting of the committee.
Representative Freeman.
Finance Committee will meet 1:30, budget work.
Before any other announcement, I might remind the members that we will be meeting at 9 a.m. tomorrow for session until about 10 o'clock, at which time we'll be breaking, and I think there'll be an announcement committee meeting for 10 o'clock tomorrow, but so tomorrow will be reserved for the other committees to work. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary will meet at 3 this afternoon on House Bill 354, Miscellaneous Amendments to the Revenue Statutes.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The failed to announce where the committee will be meeting. The committee will be meeting in the usual place in the court building.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, State Affairs will meet at room 123A today. On your printed schedule, it shows HB 369. That legislation will not be under consideration today. But HB 345, Special Appropriation for Paving Ott Molloy Point, House Bill 366, PERS Credited Service to Former ASHA Employees, and HB 175, Motor Driven Cycles. And in addition to that, Mr. Speaker, we will be considering Senate Bill 25. This hasn't been published, but this is legislation that has passed through the committee before. It's relative to opting out of Social Security. We will be considering an amendment that's been proposed to the legislation we previously passed. So we'll take that up as well. That'll be at 1:30, by the way, in room 123.
Representative Miles.
Speaker, now that you reminded me, I'll remember to announce the there will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock or upon adjournment a joint meeting, the House Finance and House Resources Committee over in Courtroom A. We have a number of people who will be testifying on the Beaufort lease sale will be teleconferenced.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Labor Management will be meeting in the Bradley Room at 5 o'clock today. It'll be a work session on unemployment insurance.
Is that a different place than the usual room? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The HES Committee will have House Bill 130 this afternoon. That was a bill that we did not report out yesterday. Or we hope we'll report it out today. And two supplemental appropriation bills, House Bill 210, for the supplemental appropriation for medical services, and House Bill 216, supplemental appropriation for the public health and public assistance.
Are there further announcements? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, if there's no other business, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House will be adjourned till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.